If we're talking about gene editing, you had to know we were going to talk about Gattaca. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. News broke this week about a Chinese scientist who says he edited the genes of two twin girls while they were still in the womb. The goal was to make the girls immune to HIV. But editing human genes at that level is ethically controversial and illegal in many countries. It raises questions about creating genetic traits that can be passed on and about a future where people choose the genetic traits they want in their children. Not surprisingly, it's a topic well covered in science fiction.
I belong to a new underclass, no longer determined by social status or the color of your skin.
Welcome to Gattaca, gentlemen.
No, we now have discrimination down to a science.
That's from the 1997 movie Gattaca, about a future where your genes determine whether you'll succeed in life or be considered invalid. Amy Webb is a professor of strategic foresight at the NYU Stern School of Business and the founder of the Future Today Institute. She told me there are plenty of benefits to gene editing technology, but Gattaca's social commentary was all too prescient.
The parts of that movie that I think were so spot on, it wasn't necessarily the technology itself, but the application of that technology throughout society. Mm-hmm. I think it's entirely plausible that we could be heading into a situation in which, due to certain circumstances and the distribution of wealth and the distribution of health care, it's plausible that we could have engineered humans who succeed in life. You know, I'm not talking about huge changes. I'm talking about small things like eradicating certain diseases for certain groups of people, and everybody else is kind of just left to deal with Darwinism on its own.
So when you see news like we saw this week with at least one Chinese scientist saying that he was doing gene editing on babies before they're born, do you think to yourself, okay, the future has arrived and now these storylines are going to come to pass too?
Yeah, well, the problem is that that future arrived a couple years ago. So what we heard about in the news this week was not the first instance of a Chinese scientist using CRISPR to edit the genome. So already, like in 2015, that was the first time that we heard about other experiments happening. We did it ourselves in the United States in 2017. It's just that some of the circumstances were different, but this is not our first foray. So what we're really talking about is what happens when we alter or edit our gene pool, and whatever the result of that is heritable. On the one hand, it's possible to weed out certain genetic disorders. You know, on the other hand, it's theoretically possible to create babies with six fingers on each hand, so that in that scene in Gattaca where there was a piano player with 12 fingers playing an extraordinarily complicated piece, playing a piece that was built for somebody with 12 fingers, you know, it's theoretically possible that we could be moving into a future in which we are bestowing upon certain people genetic capabilities, biological capabilities that other people don't get. That's the real sticky problem with germline editing. It's what becomes heritable and what are the consequences of that, both good and bad. And what that points to is maybe not a Huxleyan future necessarily, or even what we saw in Gattaca, where, you know, based on your DNA, you were assigned to a worker class or to an elite thinking class. But it is possible that we could be moving toward a sort of new economic class of humans. If your family had enough money and the resources to edit you before you were born, you know, you're going to have certain advantages. And we may find that society discriminates against people who weren't engineered. You know, that does look like a real possibility, even if we don't have people with six or seven fingers on each hand to play extra hard concertos.
Right. I mean, these technologies always starts out as we want to prevent disease. But it feels like at some point, some version of designer gene editing is inevitable, that people are going to want it.
Right. So the problem is we tend to use the word designer next to gene editing a little too often. And I think that makes a lot of people think of almost like an a la carte list of genetic traits that you get to choose from. You know, I want a baby that has curly blonde hair and green eyes and is 6.5 feet tall or, you know, whatever.
Right.
There are some real benefits that we can be moving toward as humans once we are able to edit certain traits, right? On the other hand, what are the consequences of that? And I think we can quickly wander into all kinds of weird sci-fi scenarios. I think in practical terms, the consequences we would be dealing with immediately have to do with economic and social status consequences.
Amy Webb is the founder of the Future Today Institute. And some of you have been asking what happened to Related Links. They are not gone. I'm just sick, so I'm conserving my voice and my energy. But hopefully you enjoyed this extra long interview, and hopefully with enough sleep, throat coat, tea, and zinc, Related Links will be back tomorrow. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than just keep us on the air. You help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you trust, and to make it possible for us to tell the stories of modern life through our digital economy. And when you give today, the impact of your gift will be doubled thanks to our friends at Candida. Donate now at marketplace.org to make your donation go twice as far. And thank you.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.